14 after 9, let's go to Peter Snowden now and have a chat about a few things with he and Paul Stable. Morning to you, Pete.
Morning, Andrew.
Looking forward to Pride of Dubai. Am I right? Right up the right vibe that we'll see him on Saturday?
Yeah, no, he'll be there. He's well himself. A little bit too well, a little bit fresh at the moment, but now he's in good order and he's nice and sound, which is even better.
You wanted to give yourself an extra couple of weeks off that barrier trial from 8 days ago. You felt then he was quite fresh. Just the way he's performing in his trials, that he's up on the pace?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. He hasn't raced for 10 months, Andrew. That's the key.
Yep.
He's been a long time since he's had off, and he's just like a horse. He's revved up, ready to go. And he's probably going to need this race on Saturday, you know, doing one thing for him, but no doubt a race will do that much better for him. So he's probably a bit vulnerable on Saturday. Course of that, but in saying that, he's a very good horse. He'll always run well no matter what level of fitness he has, but race fitness is the best condition of all.
He, as you say, not been there for 10 months. It's a case of just getting into the races and trying to take that freshness out, I guess.
Absolutely, yeah. No, he's leaving the gate, he's sitting outside the lead, leading in trials and races. That's not what he is. He's a spit-back run-on type of horse, and it's just going to take a little bit of work to get him just to relax and chill out a bit. I took him to the race every day out last Saturday, and he was perfect there. He never turned a hair, so his attitude to being there is fine. It's just his attitude to the competition. He's just got to come back a notch.
Understand. Just from that trial from last Monday, just for our listeners, he obviously didn't want to run Saturday just watching that second trial. I guess he, and presume that he's galloped a couple of times, maybe more than two, between last Monday and now. Is that, can that help take that freshness away?
Oh, it does a bit, but it doesn't compensate what races does for them.
Yep.
That's why just at the trial, like, he's just still too fresh, and they gave him the benefit of giving a couple more bits to work. As I said, I took him to the races every day the other day. He's just all getting his mind back where it used to be, back at the races. And it's just excitement. It's a better word, Andrew, if you just imagine not doing something for a long time that you love to do, and all of a sudden you're back there, and it's just try and get him to chill out, just settle down and relax, and that'll come. You know, I'm not going to panic. I didn't pour a heap of work in him. He's had two gallops since the trial, so I'm a great believer in race fitness is the best condition of all, and either you can have as fit as you like on the track and at home, it just doesn't do what a race does for them, and I think that's all he needs now to get him back on track.
Understand. It's like you taking 2 days off and then thinking, geez, just let me through that front door. I want to get in there.
Exactly right, Andy. It'd be like yourself and you've had a week off. You know what it's like.
Yeah, no, you really just want to get in amongst it, and we look forward to seeing him. The conditions of the race give you top weight at the moment at 60 and a half. As you say, he's got a few things that are against him on Saturday.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. He's vulnerable Saturday, no doubt, but he's a good horse. So you never underestimate good horses. You know, they pull runs out, you think, where they come from. But it's, look, the 60 kilos, I give a lot of thought, but I really had to get going this week. With the view of what's coming up in the next 6 to 8 weeks, it's important that he kicked off on Saturday to get the campaign going. And with Huey on him, 60 kilos is not my dead weight there, and you got a rider on the nose. Even the bottom weight's 56, so there's not a big spread in the weight.
So
he's a big horse, and 60 kilos is not ideal, but I don't think it's that detrimental to his chances.
Pete, just while I'm on the older horses, I'll get asked about an obvious 2 2-year-olds in a moment, but Wolf Cry, how's he come through the Gold Coast run?
Yeah, really, really worked excellent this morning. He's the horse that's going there on the other end of the scale. He's rock hard fit. He had a good foundation put underneath him before he ran the Gold Coast. And when I came home, he didn't go to the paddock like the other horse did. He stayed around the stable and just went to the beat, poked around, and he's going to present in very good order on Saturday. He's the horse that is rocking, ready to go.
He'll stay in Sydney?
I think so. I want to stay here. I think he's still a bit new to be going to Melbourne this early. My first choice will be to run him here.
Okay. The 5-year-old mare Bounding, is she in work, Pete?
Yes, she's just almost ready to trial. She'll probably trial maybe Warwick Farm Monday week or Rosehill after that.
Okay, well, we know how good she can be fresh first up, can't she? She's another one that gets out there and just does her business first up.
Yeah, Wilkes this morning was outstanding. You know, that's one thing I'm going to worry about with Bounding. She's a tremendous track worker. It's just a matter of harnessing her a bit just to keep her a bit on the tape. But she puts everything on the track every time she steps out there.
Now, Capitalist, you told us on Saturday, but for listeners that may not have heard, back in now and just slowly build up now to the Todman?
Correct. You probably have a trial, I think it's the 22nd. You'll have a trial, easy trial, and then run on the Todman, and then hopefully all be well on super from there.
Okay, and DEFCON definitely goes to Melbourne for the prelude?
Correct. He'll race there Saturday week, yep.
Yep, okay. And I note tomorrow, just while I've got you, one of James Harron's horses with the Newgate Farm and Dr. Bateman and some big names in it, Gravitate. Are we expecting to see the colt run, given that we'll probably have a rain-affected track?
I think so, Andrew. He showed that in his trials he appreciated soft ground. His horses certainly taken big steps from 6 weeks ago. Lovely individual. He's a really, really nice horse, and horse I do like. He isn't quite there yet, but he's on notice for the better races coming up, so he'll need a good showing forward on Wednesday, but he's a really nice horse. I do like him.
Yeah, no, looking forward to seeing him. Look at all the others. Pete, I dare to hesitate asking this question, because I remember when you first took up partnership with Paul, but how many are you training?
115. That's about 80 more than we're supposed to have. So.
Yes, that's why I thought I hesitated asking, because I know that you were looking at a certain number, but it's certainly gone beyond that.
Oh, the support's been tremendous, Andrew.
Yeah.
Any trainer worth his salt will just cherish what I've been offered, so I couldn't turn him back. And as much as I wanted to just cut back, I love what I do, and just means you've got to work a bit harder for a bit longer, that's all.
No, I know you love it anyway, mate. Hey, good luck with Gravitate, and we'll look out for Pride of Dubai on Saturday. Thanks for your time, Pete.
Appreciate it, Andrew. Thanks a lot.
Cheers. Peter Snowden there, looking at his runners, particularly a lot of interest in Pride of Dubai. Let's switch now to the two-year-olds.
The task. Morton's Fork popped the question now, and then came Pick's Chamber as Miss Armajardin lays it down to Ismian. Morton's Fork's grinding away. Pick's Chamber can't get there. Armajardin a half length in front of Morton's Fork going into second. Miss Armajardin, though, the country filly's clear, and she's going to make it back-to-back wins. Miss Armajardin by three quarters to Morton's Fork.
Yes, that was the last time that we saw Miss Armajardin, back in the middle part of October, and I thought we'd get an update from Port Macquarie trainer Jenny Graham. Morning to you, Jenny.
Good morning, Andrew. How are you?
Very well. Well, we've chatted off air more than what I chat with my wife in the last few weeks. well, that's what she'd tell me anyway. But tell me a little bit what the filly has been through, because it's been dramatic stuff over the summer.
Yeah, definitely, Andrew. She was actually out spelling, and she had an accident in the spelling yard. There was her in her box in her spelling yard. She hit the back wall and fractured her face, and we actually had to send her then to Randwick to be operated on, and wait for the recovery.
Yeah. Now, at the time when it happened, you sort of all held your breath, really, because, well, obviously it's so important, breathing, but in that area, has she coped with it? The scans have been taken recently?
Yes, x-rays and a scope. They're very, very happy with how it is at the moment. They feel that, things are on track for her. She's coped with it really, really well. She's a very laid-back filly. She has coped with it really.
Okay, so what's that last scan showed you in the way that when could we see her back in the stable with you?
Roughly about another 2 weeks to 3 weeks. They'd like us to give her that length of time, and then we can bring her back in, and away we go.
She must have really banged it, Jenny.
Yeah, she was. They actually, there was some bone damage, a few fragments. They had to cut down the middle of her face and basically pull the bone to bring it out. She has got a little bit of a dent left in there where the fracture was. But,
yeah.
But otherwise, she looks pretty good, really.
You wouldn't know it. I guess until they can look at scans and things and that give you good signs, but I guess it's a case of that she needs to get into her work and then see how she copes with that.
Most definitely. Most definitely. I mean, looking at it all, they're really happy with it. But, when she comes under the pressure, that's when we're going to see how things actually are.
Well, we wish her the best. As we just broadcast there, she's had the two runs and she couldn't have been more impressive, winning at Armidale and then coming to Randwick and performing so well, sitting up on the pace for Thomas Huey and really fighting on attractively. I hope that for the owner's sake and for your sake, Jenny, that you can get her back because, as I say, she raced really well pre-Christmas.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, no, she's a very... If everything goes well, I think she'll come back. She's a very laid-back filly, handles everything well. So, you know, hopefully onwards and upwards.
Yeah, that's the case. Hey, good luck, Jen. We'll stay in contact. I hope everything ends up pretty well and we can see the horse later on this year.
Thank you very much, Andrew.
Good on you, Jenny. Jenny Graham there with some news that the scan has shown that operation has worked, and at this stage, Miss Armajardin returns back into Jenny Graham's Port Macquarie stable in about 2 or 3 weeks. Well, the Inglis Classic races, the bonus races, are on in Sydney and Melbourne this week. Interesting to see that Mornington trainer Sam Pritchard-Gordon has entered a horse called Soviet Secret, who had one run back in November, and note that had a barrier trial at Randwick recently. Sam, good morning.
Morning, Andrew.
Good to talk to you. Has this been a plan to bring this particular filly to Sydney?
It's hard to ignore a race worth $250,000, to be honest with you, especially when it's restricted to, well, I suppose, 500 graduates from the classic sale. So, yeah, when she showed ability, it was on the radar from the way out, which has been great. And we seem to be getting a little bit closer.
And it was good ability back on that hillside run at Sandown. Sat fourth or fifth, and I watched the replay back this morning. Finished off really good.
She did. She was given a lovely ride by a young Chris Parnham, and she was sharp. She was professional, and so everything you look for in a two-year-old. And it was I think the form has been franked as well, with emphatically coming out and running a place in the Blue Diamond preview. So things are looking positive for myself.
Yeah, in that Merson Cooper emphatically ran third. You ran second behind Jackson, and as you say, emphatically ran well last week. You've purposely brought her up and trialled her at Randwick.
Yeah, I was faced with two options, and I was just keeping an eye on the Sydney weather, and I think we got lucky. That was a beautiful track on Friday up there on the steeplegrass at Randwick, and she found her Sydney leg and seems to have done well since. So very happy with the way we're progressing at this stage.
Yeah, it sounds like you've mapped it out, mate, if you've worked out the Sydney weather and got in into a soft 5 rather than a heavy 10, because that's what we've been dealing with.
I know it was a concern, but no, it's nice to be up here and to see the horse acclimatised like she has. So there's a lot of luck involved with two-year-olds, and primarily with the barrier draw. But outside of that, I think we're controlling our factors that we can do as well as we can.
Yeah. Obviously, she stayed in Sydney after that trial.
Yes, she has. Yeah. She's got to thank John Thompson. He's been really hospitable and looking after us a treat up here at Randwick.
Fantastic.
A great setup.
Who takes the ride, mate?
James McDonald's going to take the ride.
Okay, that's a good pickup for you.
Yeah, absolutely. And Mark Guest, I touched base with him a couple of weeks ago, thinking that obviously Godolphin are unlikely to have a runner.
Yep.
And it sort of worked out well, although he was very keen on the horse that he trialled yesterday for Chris Waller. I can't remember its name off the top of my head, but anyway, he's on my horse.
He's on yours. That's the main thing, Soviet Secret. Hey, I noted down in Melbourne, Watch My Shadows entered for the Inglis race down there. Any thoughts of that colt running there?
Yeah, he worked this morning, and it's been reported back to me he worked nicely. He's an absolutely beautiful colt by Dane Shadow. He won't necessarily be sharp enough for the 1200, but he's got sort of a size,
yep,
style of make about him.
All right, that's Watch My Shadow at Caulfield, and the other one of great interest. Do you see the horse? I mean, Barry has come into this, but your preferred option is that he just sits off the pace a little bit?
I think for me to be telling how James to judge tempo is probably a little bit churlish. So I think the one thing this filly is very tractable and professional, and she can sit in the sweet spot in the race.
Okay. All right, looking forward to it, mate. A lot of interest in this race worth, as you say, $250,000. And as you said, they're very hard to ignore, Sam.
Thanks, Os. Much appreciated.
Good on you, mate. Sam Pritchard-Gordon there. Soviet Secret for James McDonald lining up on Saturday. Robbie Griffiths nominated to Caponello and Quiet Order. Robbie's told me this morning the horses won't be coming to Sydney. Caponello's going to the Blue Diamond Prelude after a strong finish there in the preview on Australia Day. Quiet Order ran eighth to Cohesion on the same day. I'm not too sure where it's going, but they won't be coming to Sydney to line up in the English Classic on Saturday. Mark Quinn's coming down with Cogliere, who's been quite impressive the last couple at Coffs Harbour and Grafton, just holding on to victory the other day, and Mark's online. Morning, Mark.
Good morning, Andrew.
Looking forward to the challenge here, as I just had a guest, Sam Pritchard-Gordon, online. They're hard to ignore, these sort of races worth $250,000.
Absolutely. When you're sort of not in the top draw of two-year-olds and you come out of a sale like the Classic Sale, it's not a bad fallback for him.
How much did you pay for Cogliere, if I can ask?
$22,000.
Okay, so let's hope it's a good little cheap one for you. It's proven that so far with... Well, it's got, what is it, 22,750 plus the bonus. So you're in front at this stage with the owners.
Yeah, no, we've had a really good run with him, and a lot of them are residual owners from that were in Falklands a few years ago that have gone another one. There's a couple of new people in them as well.
Fantastic. Well, the two wins, they've been close finishes, but the horse fights on really well.
Yeah, look, the races that I ran him in, I was sort of dictated that way a couple of weeks ago. I had him down to trial at Wyong before Christmas, and they got canned through the wet weather.
Yep.
And I left him at my brother-in-law, Tracy Bartley's, at Wyong while I went away for a week at Christmas, and we decided to take him down trial at Randwick when he had one going down there. And then I sort of, Andrew Adkins, my apprentice at the time, he sort of said he's not ready to go straight to 1,200, needs another trial, and there wasn't another trial around to suit, so we ran him in the 800 at Coffs Harbour, and we were fortunate enough that he was just lucky, good enough to win the race. And then we went to the race at Grafton and probably should have won it outright. Through probably no fault of Ryan's slow tempo, he thought he'd get on his bike coming to the corner, and he just probably exploded a bit too quick for him than what he thought he might, and he just was sort of getting to the end of his run, and he got caught by the other short price one.
Look, it was interesting, as you say, probably around the bend. The horse just accelerated. Do you find that with him, that he is a good type once the jockey asks for something?
Oh, look, he's shown Andrew and me breaking in when we got him, and he just moved really nice straight from the get-go. And I originally bought him as to put through the breeze-ups, and I was fortunate enough Inglis gave me credit to do that last year, so I have to thank Jonathan Darcy for that. I got him home, and within a day or two getting him home, I had three quarters of him sold, just clients that seen that I bought one, and so I kept a quarter myself, and he just showed something straight away, and that's obviously why we took him to Randwick for trial, and then he pulled up really good out of that, and I thought, oh, well, he may as well go around in the Breeders' Plate when it was only a sort of smallish field, and, you know, that form sort of stood up.
It certainly has behind Capitalist and Detective and a couple of others that have gone on. And as you say, you've come back in January and you've gone bang, bang at Coffs and Grafton. And you're meeting, you know, it's horses from all around the place. So you never know what you're walking into. Who's riding on the weekend?
Yeah, I've been pretty fortunate enough to secure Hugh Bowman. And, he had a feel of him. He rode him in the first trial and he sort of wasn't able to ride him in the Breeders because he was a commitment to Peter Snowden. Zach wrote him, Zach sort of said, oh, look, he's just not an early two-year-old, just needs a bit of time. And we sort of knew that, but of course he was sound and did everything right before we give him a crack, and the experience has held him in good stead.
Yeah, fantastic. Well, we wish you the best with all the owners paying $22,000 at the Classic Sale. You're in front at this stage with prize money and bonuses. Let's hope it's a big bonus collect there on Saturday for you, Mark. Safe travels down with Cogliere.
Thanks very much, Andrew.
Good on you. Mark Quinn from Port Macquarie there. We've had two trainers on for Port Macquarie. By the way, I spoke with Gabe Waterhouse about a few things this morning off air. English is going to barrier trial again before it races. So while that did impress a lot of us, including Tommy Berry and Gay last Friday, they've worked it out. They'd like to barrier trial English again, and they'll work out a program after that. She told me a horse called Necklace. A two-year-old filly by Eavesdropper out of Watchful, a half-sister to Sepoy, is ticking over really well. Of course, Sepoy was by Elusive Quality, and this one, Necklace, it's had one barrier trial and worked really nicely this morning out at Randwick. So we'll be watching for that filly, as will Jonathan Darcy from Inglis. Morning to you, Jonathan.
Good morning, Andrew. Nice to speak to you.
You must love it when the two-year-olds start coming out and you remember when you sold them or where, you know, it must give you a buzz when you... I was just talking to Mark Quinn. I'm not too sure whether you heard that, but, you know, a story of Cogliere that you played a small part in.
Absolutely. The pluck youngster. It'd be very nice to see Mark collect. He's been a great friend of mine for many, many years, and I followed his career all the way through, and he can certainly train a smart horse. So Cochlear has a very good chance in the race, I suggest. Hopefully it draws well.
Yeah, let's hope so. Look, the build-up for two English bonus races in both Sydney and Melbourne this weekend.
Absolutely. We'll be the eyes peeled both north and south, but it is exciting. Obviously, a lot of buyers will be gracing us with their presence here over the coming week. We've got about 120, 130 horses available for inspection today, Andrew, and already I can see horses out being paraded. It's a beautiful day, and it'd be a great way to spend it looking at future champions.
Yeah, for sure. Now, you mentioned this Saturday the English Classic Sale, and it's a night session after the races.
Look, we've been fortunate enough the ATC have come to the party and put the races on at Randwick. In the past 5 or 6 years, the race has been at Rose Hill this weekend, and we did ask Racing New South Wales and the ATC if it was possible to move a Randwick meeting to this date, and they've come to the party, as I said, and we're delighted. Not only is it an outstanding race day, but it also gives race goers and trainers the opportunity to finish their business down there and jump on a couple of the courtesy buses we've got leaving the racetrack and come up here to Newmarket, celebrate their day out at the track and continue it on here under the fig tree. And we've got about 110 horses to go under the hammer. So we start selling about 6 o'clock, Andrew, and probably around about 9:30, quarter to 10, we'd be finished.
Okay, so that's Saturday night, and then you turn around into Sunday and Monday and begin at 10.
That's right. You know, we've got two big days of selling, Sunday and Monday. We've structured the sale that way to allow our interstate and overseas guests to get back for track work and things on Tuesday morning.
Yep.
So I think that strategy is going to work well.
The quality of the yearlings, sorry to go back to Mark Quinn, but he said he paid $22,000. I mean, this is a terrific record sale that has gone through over the last 5 to 10 years with cheap buys that have ended up great buys.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I suppose going back a couple of years, you know, Sincero, $8,000, turned that into $1.7 million, won a couple of Group 1 races. But even a horse like Brazen Bow, he was a $70,000 yearling, went on to win $1.6 million on the racetrack, a couple of Group 1 races, and, of course, sold for many millions of dollars to Darley to stand at stud down there in Victoria. Manu Anui was a $45,000 yearling. He won the Golden Rose and won over $1.5 million. So it's certainly a sale that belies the fact that it's probably seen as one of the value sales of the year, because its record is second to none in producing top class gallopers.
Yeah, for sure. No, it's a continuous one for sure. All right, plenty of inspections, as you say, they're out there now. So for people that and we say this regularly, may not have been out to Inglis's, tell us where it is, Jonathan, and people can head out through the day and watch what, you know, if they want to look at a horse or watch others that have got experience looking at horses.
Oh, for sure. Look, Andrew, as we've said before, it's a great way to meet bloodstock agents and trainers. Just go up and introduce yourself, tell them you're interested in maybe taking a share of something they buy, and trainers are always delighted to hear that. We'll have all the syndicators out here as well. But, yeah, for those listeners who haven't been here, if they know Randwick at all, it's only just up Allison Road and then a little right-hand turn into Botany Street. But they know the Prince of Wales Hospital. That's probably one of the main focal points. We're just below the Prince of Wales Hospital off Barker Street. Any Google search will just look you into Young Street, Randwick. There's plenty of parking. We've got the schools, school grounds that we can use for the parking. And, look, if the weather continues to look after us this week, I'm sure it'll be a great night out on Saturday night and then Sunday and Monday also. So, everyone's welcome. Plenty of catalogues here. We'll have plenty of catering on offer on Saturday night. We've got the Aussie barbecue and we've got new caterers here. So everything is lined up and ready to go for what should be a very exciting sale.
Sounds like we're going to be talking a little while through the week. But what I need you to just into the memory bank and start thinking about it is some special stories that has happened for the English sale, whether it's in the past or going into this year's race, Jonathan. Just something of a twist this week, eh?
Okay, we'll work out what a couple of those stories. I can certainly remember Takeover Target being sold. That is a fun story.
Yeah, we'll talk about that as we go along the week. Hey, good luck. Hope it's a great week coming up for you.
Good on you. Thanks, Andrew.
Thanks, Jonathan. Jonathan Darcy joining us there from Inglis's with the very latest. King's Troop missed out on running last Saturday due to the wet track. It's going to barrier a trial on Monday ahead of its next race. And hell of an effort. A two-year-old for Peter Moody. They've decided, just got a text from Pete during that interview, Pete's going to run hell of an effort in the Inglis bonus race at Caulfield worth $250,000 rather than the chairman. So he's a Blue Diamond contender. A lot of interest in him. Hell of an effort. He'll be lining up at Caulfield in this $250,000 race on Saturday. Still to come, the winners for the day. We'll also go to New Zealand, catch up with Andrew Forsman and Donna Logan. But first up, Josh Rodder is joining us from the Melbourne Racing Club. Morning to you, Josh.
Good morning, Andrew. Good morning to all the listeners out there.
Mate, we've had a number of key jump outs this morning as you do at Caulfield, and people will be able to watch these later on your webpage. But what's been, what's brought most attention to your eye through the morning?
Well, it's an exciting time of year, Andrew. We get these new fresh wave of two-year-olds heading towards the rich two-year-old races that we have here at Caulfield. This Saturday, obviously, the Inglis and the Chairman's, then next week into the Prelude. So as far as the two-year-olds go, Nick Ryan produced a two-year-old this morning, trialled very well last week, called Removal. Now, he's an unraced son of Pluck, and he flew around in Heat 5 and really looks a runner. That's the second time he's done that. Talk is he'll have his first start in the Prelude in a fortnight.
Okay.
So an interesting runner there from the Nick Ryan stable, who's recently moved, taken six boxes at Aquanita. So looking forward to seeing Removal have his racetrack debut.
Okay, so that people can watch it later. That's in Jump Out 5, Removal for Nick Ryan. Did Pasadena Girl and Bassett and Kinglight go around in Trial 6?
Yeah, well, that was probably the highlight heat of the morning, Andrew. Heat number 6, Bonhorum, Black Diamond Girl, Pasadena Girl and Bassett, along with Wise Fella. And Black Diamond Girl, the daughter of Equiano, who created a big impression when he gets maiden at Kilmore, flew around this inside track. It was simply too fast. Bonhorum travelled sweet throughout, wasn't asked to do a lot. Pasadena Girl just got a little bit outsped around the tight inside circuit here at Caulfield. She was only having her first trial, and Bassett was not knocked around, finishing just behind them. But I thought the trial to watch out of it was the maiden, Wise Fella, from the Peter Moody stable, son of O'Reilly, who was able to just tail Black Diamond Girl and keep up with her. And she's really fast, this daughter of Equiano, and interesting to see if she can step up to Metropolitan sort of black type class this time in.
What was the name of that one?
Wise Fella.
Wise Fella, okay.
Was the maiden, yeah. It sort of tailed Black Diamond Girl throughout and kept up really well. I haven't seen the times, waiting to get those off the videos, but it clearly looked like a very fast trial.
Okay. Anything else of note there, mate?
Yeah, another interesting horse that's returned is Jesse Bell, who really stepped up last time in through the spring and had a form around Politeness in those Group 2 and Group 1 mares races in the spring. She looked like she needed it, and she wasn't asked to do a lot. But keep an eye on Jesse Bell. She'll improve from today's performance and is definitely worth following.
Trained by Luke Olive. All right, as I've mentioned a couple of times, people can go to the Melbourne Racing Club webpage this afternoon. They'll be up and you can watch any of those jump outs. The main ones, Heat 5, Removal for Nick Ryan. We'll watch Heat 6 with the many there, including Black Diamond Girl and Pasadena Girl. And Wise Fella was in that one as well. So we'll watch for those when they appear on that web page. Thanks for your time, Josh. Really good stuff for our listeners.
Pleasure, Andrew. That's mrc.racing.com and all the jump outs are there for Caulfield. We've got jump outs at Mornington tomorrow. So it's a really good form tool for punters. So please keep checking into the mrc.racing.com page.
We certainly will. Thanks, mate. Josh Rodder
Thanks,
there
Andrew.
From
Cheers.
The Melbourne Racing Club. It's 19 to 10.